brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is actress Holly Robinson-Pete for Eggland's Best. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, make sure you're choosing wholesome ingredients like Eggland's Best eggs to plus up your nutrition. With more than 6 times the vitamin D and double the omega-3s and vitamin B12 compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best supports a healthy lifestyle. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com to learn more.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, California Wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen. 4 major fires burning in Los Angeles County. At least 2 people are dead. 70,000 residents under evacuation orders. ABC's Alex Stone is in Altadena near the Eaton Fire.
The streets around here, the homes are gone. This is where right now the flames are moving from home to home and building to building, and they're trying to knock that down with the winds getting gusty again, but not anywhere close to the 100-mile-an-hour winds that we were getting earlier today.
Los Angeles County Board Chair Supervisor Catherine Barger has more on the overall fire picture across L.A. County.
This is a dynamic situation. We've got fires throughout the entire county, which are spreading our resources very short. One of the things that people ask me is, what do you want to convey to the public? And that is, heed the advice of first responders. When they ask you to evacuate, evacuate.
L.A. fire officials say there's not enough firefighters in L.A. County to address 4 separate fires. This is ABC News. Israel's defense minister announcing the bodies of 2 hostages have been recovered in Gaza. This after President-elect Trump made open-ended threats if Hamas does not cut a deal and release the hostages.
A senior Hamas official says the terror group is not afraid of Trump's threats. That after the president-elect vowed again that, quote, all hell will break loose if the hostages, including 7 Americans, are not released from Gaza before he takes office. Osama Hamdan dismissing the stern warning, saying Gazans already live in hell. Hamdan says he believes a ceasefire cannot be reached by January 20th.
ABC's Jordana Miller in Jerusalem. U.S. dock workers are back at the bargaining table. They have 1 week until their contract runs out. The Longshoremen's Association and industry officials are set to meet through tomorrow in hopes of avoiding a port strike. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Welcome to Staples.
I am so pumped. My business is going to kill it this year.
Awesome. How can I help?
First, a new computer.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you save big on tech.
And new posters.
Save on custom printing, too.
And,
A new chair?
A chair? Who has time to sit?
Maybe all your new clients?
Now you're talking.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 2/1.
Have you ever lifted a piece of furniture only to discover the carpet underneath looks brand new while the rest of it looks, well, not brand new? That's when you realize you need new carpet. At the Home Depot, we have a wide selection of all the top brands. Best of all, installation is included. So all you need to do is choose something that matches your style. Start your carpet project today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Installation included with qualifying purchases. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. At the Capitol, Republican lawmakers are fast-tracking a proposed amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution.
It's already state law, but Republicans believe voter ID requires the protection of a constitutional amendment. Representative Pat Snyder citing poll numbers.
One 2024 poll in the Pew Research Center showing nationwide support of voter ID at 81%. And as our governor just said Monday, it's the will of the people, right?
Republican lawmakers are in a rush to get the proposed amendment on the statewide ballot in April. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
That Senate committee voted to send the measure to the full Senate for action today. The state assembly takes it up next week. The manhunt for a suspect in a Juneau County triple homicide is expanded.
The FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service have joined local agencies in the search for 47-year-old Virgil Thieu. Prosecutors have charged Thieu for the shooting deaths of his girlfriend, 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba, his 12-year-old stepdaughter, and the girl's 13-year-old friend. Thieu was last seen January 1st on a trail cam just outside of New Lisbon. New Lisbon police say Thieu should be considered armed and dangerous and ask police to call 911 if they see him. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Over 60 groups are asking state lawmakers to restrict wake boats on Wisconsin lakes.
The Wisconsin State Journal reports the Coalition to Protect Wisconsin Lakes wants the legislature to enact stricter guidelines on wake boats. The large boats create heavy wakes, allowing people to surf behind them. Critics of the boats say they're damaging lake shorelines and harming wildlife. Proponents claim they can be operated safely. The coalition is asking for the boats to be banned on all but the largest Wisconsin lakes. A previous attempt at passing guidelines that was backed by boating groups died in the legislature last session. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and crisp today, with high temperatures tapping 20 and sliding to near 10 tonight. It'll be a mostly cloudy start to the day tomorrow, but a warmer one, with highs reaching the mid-20s and snow moving in by the afternoon. And accumulations look light, with less than half an inch. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, it's 17.
Lower wheat prices drained optimism out of the corn and soybean trade early in the session. Another surge in the U.S. dollar, that had to have something to do with it. Bean oil and meal continue to trade in opposite directions. Lean hogs were mixed, and the cattle complex took a punch from profit takers.
Live from the third day in a row I've been at work, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Matt Campbell. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, complaining or rejoicing with that?
You know, I think I'm happy. I think I'm
happy.
This, you know, it feels good. Let's do something. You know, let's do something with your life, guys. Come
Love
on.
It. Love it.
Feels good to be productive, amigo.
Well, we are here to help you do that, Davis.
It doesn't amount to much today with all that buildup and everything. No, but I'm here.
Well, good. Good. I love to hear it. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. No interruption in the trade to this point. Mm-hmm. As I understand, we are going to close the markets early tomorrow. Doesn't mean that we're going to adjust our broadcast schedule. Okay. We'll be here at the same time.
Okay.
And we will have live shows for you tomorrow, of course, but the trade will be adjusted tomorrow. We'll talk to Matt Campbell from Stone X Group about that. Is that going to have any impact on these markets? And I want to talk bigger picture issues. We've got the reports coming up on Friday from USDA. Want to make sure that we are prepped and ready to go on that front. My general attitude here,
mm-hmm.
It was kind of a dumpy close again.
Dumpy close, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Dumpy. I like that word today for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like this market, the corn, soybeans, wheat, just really had any enthusiasm for higher price action today. It showed us that the path of least resistance, I think, is to the downside. We'll talk to Matt about that and get reaction from Bubba here in just a moment as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's get started with the news.
Well, Jeff, the U.S. dollar index rallied more than 500 points, with the greenback climbing to the mid-109 level. That capped buying interest in wheat futures and established a generally negative tone for the ag commodities in the overnight session. March soft red winter wheat opened slightly higher and firm to spike resistance at yesterday's high. Then, front month SRW dropped to spike support at yesterday's low before recovering to close just above session lows. March soft red winter wheat has traded on both sides of 540 in four consecutive sessions. March hard red winter wheat futures today 5.5 cents lower at 550.25. March SRW down 6.25 cents to 536.25. March spring wheat closed at 585, down 9.75 today.
Yeah, spring wheat leading the way to the downside today. That was a little bit surprising. The winter wheat markets, they're just looking for some direction. They're looking for headlines. They're looking for that spark to trigger some short covering. We're just not finding it.
Well, early weakness in wheat prices weighed on the corn market, as did the rally in the U.S. dollar. Ethanol production weekended January 3rd averaged 1.102 million barrels per day, down 9,000 from the previous week, but 40,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Man. Ethanol stocks are building rapidly, with stocks up 509,000 barrels to 24.148 million barrels, up 1.5 million since the first week of December. March corn futures opened slightly lower, then rallied to spike resistance at yesterday's high before falling to post a session low close just above support at yesterday's low. March corn futures were 4 cents lower, 454. May corn down 3.25 to 462.5. July corn futures closed at 465.75, down 2.5 cents, Chip.
Choppy market right now. The market is looking for momentum in either direction, and I don't know if it's going to be able to find it or not. Holding pattern ahead of the reports on Friday, that could be what's going on.
USDA this morning announced the sale of 120,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. March bean meal posted a fourth consecutive lower close and has dropped more than $20 per ton from last week's high. Prices are again testing support at the top of the November-December sideways trading range. March bean oil yesterday closed above the three-week sideways trading range and followed that with a session low open and a test of resistance of 42 cents. For now, soybeans are hitched to soybean meal, with March beans consolidating around $10. March beans 2.75 lower, 9.94.5. May beans down 1.75 cents, 10.06. July beans closed at 10.18, down a penny on the day. Chip, fractionally lower across the board here yesterday. Now we're a couple of cents lower. I don't like the tone we're taking here.
It's and the product trade is, I think, has got so much to do with it right now. That meal chart looks ugly. And if that's the best that of a price recovery that we could get out of soybean oil with the meal chart as ugly as it is, that's not very encouraging either.
Well, March cotton today was 28 points lower, 68.23. On your livestock, a very choppy boxed beef market drained some support from the live cattle market. Feeder cattle futures were also pressured by reports the U.S. will reopen to Mexican calf imports beginning January 20. February live cattle up $1.87.5 lower at $193.70. March feeders down $2.95 to $264.97.5. And front month lean hog futures spiked support at yesterday's low and then recovered to post the first higher close since December 24. February lean hog futures today 30 cents higher at $79.47.5, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's get him in here. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Happy New Year, brother. How are you?
Happy New Year, my brothers. Did you say choppy or crappy market? Which one did you say?
Yes. 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 That's, I think both are fitting in this case. Dude, what do you like? Anything?
Well, I like the grains because, again, I look at it from a perspective of I don't know how much lower they can go. There's a lot more upside than there is downside, so to me it's worth the risk. But it's certainly painful if you're a farmer or a producer. As a trader, it's fine. But as a farmer producer, you're sitting on a ton of stuff that you're probably at a loss at. And certainly I would not, if I didn't have to sell, I would not sell. I would hold and store. Of course, you have to take in the cost of storage if you have to pay to store it, because that's another equation that we have to bench for. Yep. But I do think that the equities are showing some weakness finally. And if they do finally crack a little bit, I think that new money that's coming out of equities will go into the grain markets because that is the best secondary investment. So, look, the markets look horrible, but they're still light. There's still not a lot of trade. And, of course, tomorrow is going to be the markets are going to be closed for a day of mourning. You got jobs on Friday. I think we have a better idea of what's going to happen as we get into next week. Business is a little bit better, but still half of what normal business would be like. So I'm still concerned, but when I look at price, I go, can they go lower? Yeah, they could, but I don't think there's a lot of room to the downside, so, just like being short cattle. I don't think cattle can go much higher.
Okay. Real quick, do you trade the grains when they're as weak on volume as they are?
I bought more wheat this morning. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Hey, man. We'll talk to you again real soon. Be safe.
Happy New Year. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Yep. Hit them straight. All right. That's Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Let's get focused on the fundamentals of the markets. We've got the reports coming up on Friday. Are we in a holding pattern in front of those reports? We'll talk to Matt Campbell about it from StoneX Group next. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at FBN.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revitec fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Day one. Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25 Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first. With farmland rates as low as 5.76%, visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
We're going to have to rehab this conversation, Davis.
You want to open that can of worms?
Oh, we will. We will again.
Uh-huh.
We absolutely will again.
I wonder if I came up with my own rendition of the tune, if that would help anyone at all. It might.
Hey, listen. You don't have to help anybody with this. Everybody has to help themselves with this conversation.
Boy, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Yeah.
Are you just going to accept the fact that, oh, geez, some 30-year-old wrote that 30 years ago. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to have the attitude, you know what, I'm 60? Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm looking forward to the next 30.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
It could be interpreted that way, yes, by some.
By some. Yes, mm-hmm. I get it. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Those people
understand,
are out there.
I understand the sum that you're talking about. Welcome back to Agri Talk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. Mm-hmm. Matt Campbell, Stone X Group. Matt, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Chip?
Doing real good. How'd you survive the holidays?
Well, I came back with a cold from vacation, but all things said, that it was really great couple of weeks. So how about you?
Yeah, good. I went down to Orlando to that football game and brought a cold home with me, too. Yeah.
We saw a good one.
Oh, holy smokes, that was fun. That was
a ton of
fun, no doubt about that. Oh, hey, you know, great job out there, too. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, the grains today, Matt, just looking at the way that the markets performed today, can we take any signals from it?
Well, you mentioned at the top, the dollar probably had a little bit of an impact on things today. But, you know, if you look at the charts the last, you know, week or so, really since the start of the new year, we've been violently trading in the same basic range. Back and forth, big ranges, but essentially corn, March corn, 450 to 460. You've got March beans basically in about a 990 to 1015 range. And yeah, they've been exploring both, you know, the upper and the lower ends of those ranges almost every day, but it's really not going anywhere. And I think, you know, this report Friday has, it's a market mover. And I think we're just kind of grinding into that Friday morning report.
Yep. I continue to get the questions, and I understand why I'm getting the questions, Matt. People want to understand better why meal and oil are trading the way that they are in relation. What's your take on it?
Well, the meal is to me a supply problem. You know, I think we've just got too much crush capacity that's come online. And let's be honest, I mean, the ethanol plants are grinding at a fast pace, so there's more distillers grains on the market. So just a lot of protein, you know, that doesn't necessarily have a home, and it's not easy to move with the crush capacity coming online essentially for oil needs. You know, the oil just really hasn't found that demand either. But I view the oil strength as just tied to product unwind, you know, spreads between the meal and oil complex. And so I don't think there's a story there. And I know you mentioned the same thing. It just, you know, the fact that oil can't do much more is more of a story than, you know, than the strength we've seen this week. So,
The fact that just a few days ago we had March bean meal up at 320, that to me is more surprising.
It's been Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, hasn't it?
It has. It has. Yeah. It absolutely has. And I mean, it's creating some volatility in the complex. I guess that's good.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's been, you know, I think there's probably more things going on right now than, you know, we've seen in a bear market cycle. You've got more geopolitical stuff. You've got more uncertainty with policies, et cetera. You've got, you know, obviously weather. You've got a tightening corn balance sheet. You've got a lot of stories out there. And volatility, you know, and options has been really pretty low for both the corn and soybean markets, which is pretty surprising considering just how many things still kind of lie in wait out there right now.
Yeah. Let's stay on beans here, Matt. We'll save that tightening balance sheet story in corn for a little bit later here in the conversation. We get the annual production summary on Friday. That's our final, you know, quote unquote, final look at the 2024 bean crop. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, in all cases, I'm surprised at the trade guesses. You know, we're only looking for a very small reduction in yield. And, And I don't know that this report is totally focused on yield, but I think yield and acres are a big part of this report. And I think just looking at the average trade guesses, they're not really looking for much change in production, which I kind of find as a surprise. So we didn't finish this crop very well, especially in the Eastern Belt. I think the heat did kind of take off the bean yield a little bit. And what we saw in the November report, you know, I think we'll see another kind of echo of that, a little bit smaller bean crop. The problem is, you know, the bean balance sheet's just pretty well supported, and we've got a monster crop looming in South America. I just don't think that there's a whole lot out there. You know, the bean market really doesn't have a story, and I think that's maybe the story itself, right?
Yeah. Yep. Is there enough room for a surprise on the supply side of the domestic balance sheet on beans?
Yeah, I mean, if you saw a full bushel per acre yield, I mean, it's starting to do some damage. But you know, you're still just I think the big problem is, you know, the demand markets, our export program starts to wind down pretty drastically. Our crush pace is very strong, but it's very much plugged into the balance sheet. So there's not going to be anything that's overwhelmingly surprising there. So it just means we're kind of sitting there, even with a large cut to yield of like 400 million bushel carryout, as Brazil possibly, you know, raises another, you know, record crop with no, you know, close margin, and it's harvested in another couple of weeks. So
yeah,
that's why
yeah.
I think you just have a hard time with the bean market right now.
Okay, I've been trying to get worked up about Argentina in far southern Brazil. I'm losing enthusiasm for the story.
Is
there something to watch there or not?
I think there's something to watch there. I think there is.
Okay.
You know, I think in southern Brazil, there's still time that could affect some crop, you know, impact. It's not, I still think it's very, very likely that Brazil is going to be harvesting, you know, a monster crop. The Argentine one is a story, though. I think that's going to be something that, you know, throughout the growing season, they're not expected to have an ideal look. Granted, it's very early in their growing season, but I don't think they have a real optimistic forecast, you know, for the rest of it. So the problem is, it's kind of what you mentioned, it loses steam because it's still very likely that these two countries combine for a record soybean crop right now. So you know, that's the downside. But I do think that it's worth, you know, it's like last year, you know, we were headed to the finish line and very strong, and it kind of stumbled at the end, and it could still take some supply off the balance sheet, but it's just still probably not enough to matter.
Yeah. Okay. But hey, you take 5 million ton off that Argentine bean crop. Is that enough to help the meal market a little bit?
Yeah. And I think that was maybe, you know, in part, you know, of what we saw in late December with the meal market. You know, it rallied on $35, $40 off the lows. And I think that was part of it, along with the funds just being short the meal market, and said, I'm not going to be short in the face of a dry Argentina. And so that kind of created that. But yeah, the weather story, I don't know that it's just totally changed, but I think it's just more comfortable. And that's why meal has just, you know, started to suffer a little bit more here too.
Okay. So when you're talking with your clients about bean marketing right now, Matt, what does the conversation sound like?
It's tough. You know, I mean, no one likes to be making a lot of sales below cost of production. And I think this is a story that's not just a this year problem. So what I would tell you is, and this is, I feel pretty confident in these numbers, you know, we've got a grower that's been a very active seller of corn, and it makes tons of sense. Good crop trending higher in the market in prices they haven't seen since the summer. So we've seen them sell a lot of corn, but there's really very little bean movement. And that's you know, maybe a little bit, you know, in early December with the pop, but so I think there's still a lot of beans left out there. And, you know, for recommendations, it gets tricky. You know, there's just not a great, you know, pixie dust solution out there right now. So that becomes tricky. And that's not just old crop, you know, new crop. And I think we're going to be talking about acres battle probably starting Monday. You know, the new crop store on beans isn't very impressive. It's below cost of production. And I think you're going to see an acreage, you know, jump back to corn again this next year. So, it's a difficult conversation to have, but you know, I think if you want to tie some of the themes we've talked about back together, the low option volatility, you know, maybe it's a time to look at some puts. If you think there's some upside, we're near some lows on beans, maybe look at some puts. That doesn't fix anything. You can still participate in a rally, something like that might be a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Excellent. We are in the middle of a conversation with Matt Campbell, StoneX Group. Covered a lot of ground on soybeans right there. When we come back, we're going to basically run the same process on. I do need to ask about soybean demand. Is there any kind of movement that we might see there? Then we're going to jump over and have the conversation on corn next.
Markets in Music City. It has a nice ring to it. That's why we want you to meet us in Nashville for the AgMarket.net Farm and Co-Profit Not Price Conference, February 2nd and 3rd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel, with presentations geared toward risk management, a market outlook, technical analysis, and more. All while socializing some of the top analysts and producers around the country just steps from Broadway. Give us a call to register at 844-4-AG-MRKT or head to AgMarket.net. There's a risk of loss in trading futures and or options.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 5.5 cents lower at 5.50 1/4. March soft red wheat down 6.25 cents to 5.36 1/4. March corn futures were 4 cents lower at 4.54. July corn closed at 4.65 3/4, down 2.5 cents. March soybean futures 2.75 cents lower at 9.94 1/2. May beans down 1.75 cents to 10.06. March cotton today was 28 points lower, 68.23 on the close. On your livestock, February fat cattle futures were $1.87 1/2 lower at $193.70. March feeders off 2.95, 264.97 1/2. And February lean hog futures were 30 cents higher at 79.47 1/2. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Day one. Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Tires are an essential part of your vehicle. Let the hometown guys at Adams Super Service check your tires and replace them if necessary. Adams Super Service features the Hunter Alignment System, the most advanced system to keep your vehicle going straight. Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center in downtown Durand. Visit them online at adamssuperservice.com.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and crisp today, with high temperatures tapping 20 and sliding to near 10 tonight. It'll be a mostly cloudy start to the day tomorrow, but a warmer one, with highs reaching the mid-20s and snow moving in by the afternoon. And accumulations look light, with less than half an inch. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, it's 17.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We're in the middle of a conversation with Matt Campbell, StoneX Group, talking about what's going on in corn and soybeans in particular today. So, Matt, Is there anything on that demand? We had a bean sale announced this morning. That made me feel pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good time of the year to get bean sales announced. This is when things start to slow down.
Yeah.
I think that this is going to be a tough time. You know, this is just that strong seasonal time when our export program really just winds down. And, you know, crush is going to be relevant all year. It's going to be strong. We're going to have record months throughout. But the export program should seasonally slow down and shift towards South America. And I don't, at this point, really see something that would change that. It, you know, obviously, you never know, but that'd be far-fetched to me right now.
All right. Well, lucky you. I've been tippy-toeing around a question in the past, and I'm done tippy-toeing around it. And we're just going to jump right into this one. Are you a buyer or seller on the bio-based diesel stuff?
Can I do neither right now?
You can do whatever.
I think probably a buyer still. You know, I mean, I think that there's infrastructure there. And I assume you're talking about, is there a chance like we ban imports, used cooking oil or something like that? Kickstart this. I think that that's, you know, because all the plants are built and there's capacity and there's new, you know, even crush side, I still think that that's going to be a go. It's just, you've got to really limit the feedstock imports. And that's probably the first thing that has to change. So we'll see. I don't know that, you know, President Trump is going to be the guy that wants to be real involved with that, but we'll see.
Well, Grassley sure isn't happy with the current status.
Correct. Yes.
I would think that he's going to keep that front and center while he can and get something done on it.
Yeah, I mean, that and E15, I mean, these are the two things, you know, I kind of mentioned that the policies are still up in the air. I mean, these are the two things to me that, you know, they're potentially pretty big deals for our markets. And I think there's a decent shot at both being, you know, something that gets kickstarted. So that'd be the thing that if you're looking at domestically, the export side, I think I feel pretty strongly, but the domestic thing might be a little bit different story.
Yep.
But that's the soybean oil story. You know, our crush capacity is still going at pretty much record levels. And that's, you know, that's been a very good thing for our domestic bean demand. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. You mentioned the E15. When it was included in the first round of the continuing resolution to fund the government, I thought, man, okay, they're just going to send this thing on through.
Right.
And then it got yanked out of there, and all it was a big reminder of how much opposition big oil has got out there to E15.
I know it. Of all the things you could think, you know, would help ease inflation, if you want to call it that, just seemed like the most layup decision out there. So
I'm with you.
But you're right. Tells you a little bit about big oil. That's for sure.
It does. And it just, but even with that said, corn grind for ethanol has been very good, right?
It has been. And that's, you know, we're not exactly just setting the world on fire with gas demand, but we have been seeing, you know, very strong exports of ethanol, and that's been a big success program. So the margins on ethanol aren't great right now, but the plants are running at a very fast pace. So it's been running much better than last year even. And you know, overall, that's been a success story. You could even make the claim, though, that the entire corn demand balance side of the balance sheet is all running pretty strong. You know, exports have been very good. Feed has been very good. That's what strong animal numbers and good profits and livestock margins, as well as cheap corn, do for feed usage. And then obviously ethanol as well. So the corn demand story has been very good. Really about the time we started wrapping up the 24 growing season, we started to realize there's demand for $4 corn out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're feeding some cattle to ton. We got to be using feed like crazy out there. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's something that, you know, the USDA's got a pretty large feed number plugged into the balance sheet, but, you know, and feed is always an extremely difficult thing to measure, but, at this point, you can't really think that there's much room for downside in their estimates. You know, it just looks like there's good margins and cheaper feed ingredients. They that's been a strong correlation to high usage rates. So, right there we go.
Okay. So the demand side of the balance sheet is pretty well documented. We're going to get an update to the supply side. What's your thoughts there?
So again, it's what I hinted at with beans. We're not the trade guesses just don't look for much. And I have a comment on this too. You know, the average trade guess is looking for, you know, 0.4 of a decrease per bushel in yield. We're pricing and we're talking about a carryout projection that's just marginally 50 million bushels smaller. The current board price and the current curve of the corn market, the spreads, they're pricing something much different than a 1.7 billion bushel carryout. And so I think that's just kind of interesting to look. In my opinion, we're pricing something sub 1.5, you know, maybe even 1.4. 1.4 billion bushels, and the average trade guess is not even close to that. So somewhere along the lines, we've got to either find USDA reports that start to justify these prices, or something's got to give. I think that's just my opinion, but I think, you know,
you don't have
July SEP corn at a 25-cent inverse if you're, you know, talking about a 1.7 billion bushel carryout. Oh,
so. Okay, throw a little bit on basis in on that conversation too, Matt.
Yeah, and everything feels heavy right now. I mean, it's the response. You can tell the grower, you know, 2024 by and large is going to go down as one of the years where the grower sold the least amount of corn possible. And so since harvest, we've seen that uptrend in the market, and we've seen a lot of response from growers, probably needing some cash, seeing some prices they haven't seen in a while. And so this has been an extremely active movement, and you can tell where there was good crop. So along a lot of the corn belt too. So, all those, you know, signals to me, I think that the board, it does have to find some justification from the USDA at some point in the next few reports. And to be honest, this is the report you would normally find that justification from. So that's why I look at the trade guesses and I'm thinking, well, this is really a little different than what the board's trying to show us. So.
Yeah. If we don't get some evidence of what you're talking about in Friday's reports, it's not like we're going to get it in a monthly supply and demand report. We're going to have to wait for the quarterly stocks reports again, aren't we?
Correct. And I think another thing about that, you know, I always hate that we have to wait for the quarterly stocks reports to justify, you know, the previous year's production numbers, because we have all these yield reports that go through in the fall. But nonetheless, that does happen. And to your point, Chip, you know, the Feb and March reports aren't going to show anything like that. So, the big yield changes have to take place, you know, Friday. I think there's a chance they do have a smaller yield. But, you know, if we're talking about, if I'm saying that 460 corn and a 25-cent inverse in July SEP is pricing a 1.4 billion bushel carryout, to get that kind of a cut in supply, you got to have like a bushel or more, you know, change in yield, and then even some increases in the demand categories. And keep in mind, the USDA already made a very healthy demand increase in December. And so that's, you know, another thing that kind of leaves a little bit more uncertainty on Friday's report as well.
Yep. I just got a message from a listener. Homeland Energy up in Lawler, Northeast Iowa. Is calling in February contracts already.
Oh, really? That's interesting. That's a little different take than what I was expecting. I'm seeing, you know, some heaviness with the amount of grain that's been moved so far, but every region's got a little bit different thing going on.
Yeah,
a little tougher crop in that area. Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Okay. Is there urgency to do anything between now and the reports on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's need. I think this report has risk in it, and I think based on what we've kind of our discussions been around, I think the USDA has to put something out there that does help support the argument that corn needs to be here or higher. We've got you know, the two most bearish things in corn on a fundamental note are, one, the fund position. You know, they've got 220,000 to 250,000 contracts of length. Now that's a pretty large position, especially with this kind of a market. And the second thing is the acres discussion for 25. Yep. So yes, those two things we have to address at some point. So there is risk. And the other part is, you know, like I mentioned, if the yields don't show some cut, I feel like there's downside risk in the board too. So if I'm a grower, you know, I like the idea of puts. You know, you can buy whatever, you know, strike you want or whatever expiration you want. But I think that the relative low volatility prices, they still can be a little sticker shock. But I think that that's probably a pretty good risk management tool on anything on old crop corn that you're still sitting with.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Matt, you made a great point. They need to do it now. They need to send a signal. If a signal needs to be sent, send that signal now so that producers can actually respond to it.
Absolutely.
Yep. We got it. It's the timing of the signal is just as important as the signal, and that's where we're at. Matt, great job, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
I appreciate you, man. Matt Campbell, StoneX Group. Davis and I will be right back.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. That's 800-917-8730.
Corn and wheat at BASF. Kim, we spend so much time talking about crop protection for a reason. And that's because crop protection is really revenue protection, right?
Absolutely is, Chip. You know, diseases, environmental stress, they all cost growers year after year. I think soybean diseases, we've seen they can cost roughly $45 an acre. We've seen the American soybean yield reduced by 11%. And if we're thinking about our corn acre, if we look back to 2022, tar spot cost growers roughly 117 million bushels. So it really has the potential to impact your bottom line.
Yeah, and what you're doing with fungicides is really looking to increase your chances of success, correct?
Exactly. And that's what you get with a BASF performance-driven fungicide like Veltima on your corn or Revitec on your soybeans. Our products offer more than just disease control. You get those additional benefits of environmental stress mitigation, optimizing growth efficiency, all of which is what results in our BASF brands outperforming other fungicides on the market 8 times out of 10 and the untreated acre 9 times out of 10.
Fantastic. Okay, Kim, now is the time to be making some choices on crop protection for the year ahead with the deals that BASF is offering, right?
Absolutely. As we begin preparing for the 2025 season, we've locked in 0% financing on our crop protection and seed treatment brands through March 15th.
Excellent, Kim. Where can listeners go for more information?
They can visit basf-grower-finance.com to learn more.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Kim Tudor, Technical Marketing Manager for Corn and Wheat at BASF.
Mark your calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking, January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/growerclinicregistration today to register.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to it, everybody. AgriTalk. Your pal Davis Michelson here along with Chip Flory on your Wednesday afternoon. We are at the very tippy top of hump day right now. Chip, I don't know if you've been watching this or not. I can't look away from coverage of these California wildfires deep in the heart of Los Angeles itself. Yeah. The immense loss. Well, let's start with there have been some fatalities reported, unfortunately. Thus far, just a few, but a few is too many. Property damage, just an unbelievable inferno out there. If you good folks are the praying kind, maybe send a couple of thoughts California's way. However you may feel about California and Californians, these are human beings. These are people.
That's right.
These are our brothers in the brotherhood of man and whatever. Pray for these people. They need it. They need it.
It's just when they go, I mean, they're right in the middle of it right now. I get it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be that guy. But how in the world did it get to the point that this could happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have to figure that out so that it doesn't happen again. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. Man, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, quite the deal. You know, and I'm going to be cynical just a little bit. I bet they get help way before North Carolina gets help from the tragedy and that whole part of the country over there that's still waiting on resources and assistance. Palestine, Ohio, you know, all these sorts of other places.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're going to rebuild L.A. It's going to be all hands on deck. We got to get it put back together, everybody. These celebrities need a place. No, I'm getting started. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yes, we need to.
It's all.
We wish the best for everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
We really do. Yeah. Really do. Yeah. Senator Chuck Grassley intensified his criticism of EPA over its method for verifying used cooking oil imports. I just want to put this in perspective. We mentioned it this morning, but in through August of 2024, we had a record amount of imports, 3.2 billion pounds of used cooking oil imported through August 2024. Here's where the perspective comes in. That's enough to displace 270 million bushels of soybeans. 270 million bushels of soybeans. Help me. To me, that seems like a pretty big number, Chip. Is it in the context of the broader soybean supply of the broader soybean market?
That's a huge number.
Is it? I was afraid.
When you throw on top of it the 250 million that we've already added to the crush, you know, this goes back to the conversations that we had at the very beginning of the renewable diesel conversation, at the very beginning of the sustainable aviation fuel conversation. I think the way that I said it, if I recall it correctly, is when I was out on the road doing Outlook presentations on a, you know, breakneck pace, mm-hmm. I would always wrap up with, show me a billion bushels more of corn demand and 500 million bushels more of bean demand, and it will change everybody's life forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we got 250 of it. You throw 270 in on top of it, you got your 500.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, they're breaking rules left and right on that used cooking oil. I mean, just it's unbelievable what they have done. When they bring a tanker of palm oil in and let it sit at a dock, unload some into a contaminated tank, and then reload it back into the tanker.
Oh, geez.
And then bring it to the U.S. as used cooking oil. Something is not right there. That's not what is intended to happen. If it's actual used cooking oil, and we are making use of a product that has already given us its original use, we've already used it. Now we're going to get a second shot at that same product? That's a beautiful thing. It's efficiency beyond belief. That's awesome. But don't go and, you know, there's money to be made doing it. And I guess when that's the case, Davis, they're going to come after it. And I'm not naive to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not naive to that. But at the same time, you know, just end running these rules and regulations to grab those dollars is not right.
Right.
Is not right. And I think that's what Grassley is all about right now, and saying, mm-hmm. we don't want to do away with the program. We just want to do the program right as intended. And boy, I'm all in with him on that.
Yeah. Here's a fun one. We didn't get to this in the news this morning, but China has added more home appliances to the list of products that can be used in its consumer trade-in scheme and will offer subsidies for additional digital goods this year in an effort to revive sluggish demand. I think it's getting bad over there in China.
Cash for clunkers, man!
They're buying back their air fryers and stuff, bro.
Cash for clunkers.
What are we doing?
Remember that?
How do you know when things aren't going well?
I'm telling you, Lee Iacocca made a freaking billion dollars off cash for clunkers. Who knows?
Well,
who knows?
Send the best too.
Could work. But you are exactly right in saying that is a sign that desperate times call for desperate measures.
Indeed.
Wow. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook January 14th through the 18th. Below normal temperatures expected southern Wisconsin, eastern Iowa, all of Missouri, and points to the south and east of that. Near normal temperatures expected to the west and north of that line. Near normal temperatures expected over most of the Corn Belt for that time period. Just watch out for those cold temperatures. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back tomorrow morning. We got Glenn Tonzer from K-State talking beef demand, and we're going to talk LRPs with Clay Bertram from Farm Data Services.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council. You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Are you an oblivious person hogging the sidewalk like a large dying snail? Do people stuck behind you ask, how do you sleep at night? Then you should go to Mattress Firm. They have tons of quality beds at every price. So anyone, even people like you, can sleep all night long. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews say they cannot keep up with four major wildfires burning in Southern California, driven by hurricane-force wind gusts and bone-dry conditions.